Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. Let's turn now to the latest on retired Red Sox slugger David Ortiz. He was shot last night while at a bar in his native Dominican Republic. Red Sox president and CEO Sam Kennedy spoke about Ortiz at a news conference just moments ago.
Our medical team here in Boston and the doctors in the Dominican Republic have confirmed that David's condition is still serious, but that he is stable enough to be transported back here to Boston for continued care.
WBUR Sports and Society reporter Shira Springer is following the story and joins me now in the studio. Hey there, Shira.
Hey, Cal.
So that's some good news out of Sam Kennedy just moments ago that Big Papi is stable enough to return to Boston. What else do we know about his current status?
It is good news, and we know that an air ambulance has been sent down to the Dominican Republic to transport David Ortiz back to Boston, where he will receive care at Massachusetts General Hospital.
We've heard some physicians telling the Boston Globe and other news outlets that this is the kind of injury that could be life-threatening. So this was really serious stuff, right? And he seems to be making some progress, but perhaps not out of the woods just yet.
Yeah. I mean, he was shot in the lower back and abdomen. He underwent 6 hours of surgery.
Wow.
And in the course of that surgery, he had part of his intestines removed, his gallbladder removed, his colon removed, we are told. Has been reported. He also suffered liver damage. So all of these are very concerning developments or reports about his medical condition.
Let's hear a little bit more from Sam Kennedy at that news conference. He expressed a lot of gratitude to the Red Sox fan base for all of their support throughout this ordeal.
I want to thank our fans, our players, Red Sox alumni, and the entire Red Sox community for the outpouring of support they've shown for David and David's family. Please know that we are doing everything we can to support David and his family during this very difficult period.
So, Shira, I mean, I think what that speaks to is just how beloved David Ortiz is as a figure, both in his native country, the Dominican Republic, and here in Boston, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want, often use the word iconic, but I think iconic fits here for David Ortiz. I mean, this is a guy who won 3 World Series titles with the Red Sox. But more than that, he had this exuberant outside personality. He embraced the city, the city's passion for baseball. He's a gregarious guy who loves to be out and among the people. And that's sort of where he was last night, out at a bar in his hometown of Santo Domingo, in the Dominican Republic, having a good time, enjoying some time with friends. And, then this happens. And because he's so beloved, his father has said he doesn't know anyone who would want to shoot his son. And investigators are now in the process in the Dominican of trying to figure out what the motive was. If you watch the video of the shooting, it was, it was done at very close range, some might say point-blank range. He was ambushed, shot from behind by a man who jumped off of a motorcycle, shot him, and then tried to get away, but then was sort of captured, I guess is the way you describe it, by a crowd at the bar and beaten.
As I guess you'd expect from very angry fans in a country that absolutely loves this
exactly,
guy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, to the whole point about, it's hard to imagine why anybody would do this. I mean, Sam Kennedy, the Red Sox president, really talked about this, the role that he has in this community in Boston as well.
It's hard to express what David Ortiz means to the Boston Red Sox. When you love someone and they come in harm's way, it's jarring.
We've also heard some local fans responding to this, too. Our Simone Rios was out in Boston today talking to fans. One of the folks he ran into is a gentleman named Miguel Zapata, who owns a barbershop in Dorchester. This was his reaction.
I feel real bad, the insecure, and our country is really bad. And I feel bad for him. I hope he get better.
So there you hear it, Shira. I mean, from a fan, from the Red Sox president, Big Papi's place in this community is really just – it's hard to overstate, isn't it?
Yeah, and we haven't even mentioned yet what he did in 2013 in the wake of the Boston Marathon bombings. I think that's when he really solidified his place as an icon in this city, when he said famously, this is, our bleeping city. It was just a show of strength and a show of defiance in the face of the bombings that has never been forgotten and really endeared him to this community, even more in some ways than the titles he won with the Red Sox.
Well, and as he prepares to get on a plane back to Boston for medical treatment, we're mindful that he was planning to come back to Boston this week anyway for a charity event on Wednesday, because that's just—
Because that's who he is.
That's who he was, right. Yeah, it's just in keeping with him. What about the shooter, Ishier? He's been identified as 25-year-old Eddie Feliz Garcia. Do we know anything about him or his motive, or does this just seem to come out of the blue?
It seemed to come out of the blue, still under investigation. Different reports have trickled out. It's hard to tell what's credible, what's not. And as Sam Kennedy actually said during the press conference, you know, not only with the medical information, but they're holding back on, you know, any speculation about anything. It's been difficult to get information out of the Dominican Republic. So I think at this point, letting authorities determine what the motive might have been, you know, why David Ortiz, was David Ortiz even the intended target? That all has to be sorted out. I do know that authorities had to wait for a period of time before they could question the gunman because he was beaten so badly by the crowd at the bar.
So let me ask you, I mean, this episode calls to mind something I know that you covered almost a couple of decades ago. I'm thinking of the stabbing of a Celtic star, Paul Pierce, outside of a bar in 2000.
Inside of a bar in Boston. You know, I mean, I think, and that's, you know, we kind of tend to think, oh, this happened in the Dominican Republic. You know, we also hear not infrequently about players being kidnapped in South America, baseball players or their family members being kidnapped and held for ransom.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so obviously in a country like the Dominican Republic and some South American countries, players, because of their wealth, are targets, their wealth and fame. But it's you know, you're not immune to it anywhere. And that was true of the Paul Pierce incident. And I think it just underscores, you know, the athlete celebrity culture and how it can attract, you know, it attracts fame, it attracts fans, but it also attracts, you know, people who might shoot you in a bar in the Dominican Republic or might stab you in a club in Boston.
Yeah. Well, Shira, I know you'll keep following the story, and our WBUR team will continue to deliver the latest. In fact, we'll have more updates about Big Poppy's status on All Things Considered at 4 o'clock. But Shira, while I have you, I do want to ask you about some brighter news in the Boston sports world. We did have Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final last night. It was a must-win for our Bruins, and they did indeed extend it Game 7. It was close for a while.
But you really did sense, though, in this game, as soon as Marchand scored on that, you know, 5-on-3 power play, that the Bruins were of a different mindset. That, you know, they were chasing down pucks. They were more aggressive than I'd seen them in previous games. I mean, hungrier in some ways. There was the sense, even from the first period, that this was going to go the Bruins' way.
Yeah, so the final is 5-1, which sounds like it was kind of a blowout.
Yes.
But earlier, the game was tight. And I do want to highlight one of the key plays here. So with the Bruins up by a single goal.
Oh, is this the Mac? Is it?
I'm going with this, right?
It may be the play of the year.
It might be. So just to set this up, Tuukka Rask, who made 28 saves,
yes,
may have been overshadowed by the best save of the night by Charlie McAvoy, one of his defensemen. So the puck hits the post, bounces into Tuukka Rask's
back. Off of Tuukka Rask's back.
It's behind him.
Yeah, he has no concept of where the puck is.
Yeah, and then Charlie McAvoy, with amazing hand-eye coordination, swats it out of the way, and then here's what Tuukka said after the game about this great play by his defenseman.
Chucky hit it with his stick, and I kind of heard it. I didn't know where it was, and I figured it might be, you know, somewhere behind my back. You know, it's never a good thing for a goalie to kind of be facing the play with your back, but, you know, luckily it stayed out.
I mean, it was pretty amazing. I have watched this several times in slow motion, and I still can't locate the puck before Charlie McAvoy literally bats it out of the goal mouth. I mean, it is mind-boggling when you look. It's like, how did he pick that up? Where was it? Where did it go? I mean, and I think it's important to say that, you know, you mentioned it was close early on. As much as I have said that the Bruins clearly seem to have momentum in their favor and to be in control of the game, you know, If they had scored on that goal, this was midway through the second period, it would have tied the game 1-1 and completely changed the tenor of the game, because then the crowd at the Enterprise Center is back in it, and you're potentially going into the third period even, instead of going to the third period ahead.
But instead, the Bruins pull away, and at the end, Zdeno Chara nets an empty netter, which is great because he's been playing with that big face mask on. So here we go to Game 7, and the seconds that we have left, Shira, how do we look? Are we going to have a duck boat parade later next week?
I think there's a very good chance. I mean, it's always tough to make predictions, but this is the prediction I will make. Tuukka Rask will come up big once again in goal and is going to be an incredibly physical game. It has been a physical series. The Blues like to play physical hockey, but it's going to be ratcheted up even more in Game 7.
All right. That's WBUR Sports and Society reporter Shira Springer. Shira, thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks for having me.
And again, we'll have more on David Ortiz in the 4 o'clock hour as Alex Cora takes the microphone. The Red Sox manager will be hearing from him and have more updates on All Things Considered. That's our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Zoe Mitchell, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Callum Borchers. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.